Another edition of Pittsburgh Pop. Tim Benz and Rob Owen with you, your weekly slice of pop culture here at Trib Live. Check out Rob, TV Talk, TV Q&A, once a week each at the Tribune Review and Trib Live. Read me daily Breakfast with Benz at Trib Live in the sports section. Rob and I were speaking before we started rolling for our podcast today. You know, we always do a lot of TV. We always like to mix in movies, but boy, we've been TV heavy lately and we haven't done too many movie reviews or had too many movie discussions, Rob. Why do you think that is?
Well, by and large, there haven't been a lot of movies, Tim. It's been a weird, dead, fallow period where the only movies that have really gotten people to theaters have been horror films. And that's not unusual for this time of year. But usually there's at least a few other things. But in September, there just weren't that many big releases in theaters. Barbarian, you know, did some business. That's kind of a horror thriller. Then we had Smile, another low-budget horror movie that has done actually very well. Then this weekend, we had Halloween Kills, the supposed last in the Halloween series that was also on Peacock. So,
Believe that, by the way? Do we believe
is
the last one?
Of course not.
Is this the last one, like I just went to see Motley Crue's last concert again? Or Kiss's last concert again? Or I saw Mike Tyson's last fight seven times. I'm still not convinced he's not coming back. Is it one of these kind of deals?
Yeah, I think it is perhaps believably Jamie Lee Curtis's last Halloween movie, but I am sure that someone will find a way to resurrect Michael Myers and or his descendant or brother or cousin or something, and that there will be more Halloween at some point.
What about Black Adam?
So that is this coming Friday, the 21st is Black Adam. And that's like the first kind of, you know, big blockbuster possible movie that we've had since the summer movie season ended. It's a DC movie starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And so that will be in theaters this week. And, you know, we'll see how that does. The tracking on it has been pretty good. I've seen lots of toys in the store that are Black Adam toys. So clearly they are expecting something from that. And then I think there's one you're interested in that's coming to Netflix this Friday, correct?
Yeah, that's All Quiet on the Western Front. I read the book. I tried to cheat on reading the book by watching some of the movie. That backfired because the previous movie wasn't enough like the book to help me get the answers right on the test that I was taking for it. I was not a fan of the book. How about you?
Ah, gosh, it's been so long. I remember reading it. I remember watching something in class. I think it was the 79 Richard Thomas Ernest Borgnine version of All Quiet on the Western Front.
Yes.
I think I liked the book, but again, we're going back 30
Yeah, I'm a little hazy on it too, Rob, but this is my memory of it. Let me see if it jibes with yours, which is everybody who talks about World War One and the history of it talks about the eternal struggle of minimal back and forth movement over small chunks of land. Like, you know, the Allies would gain a couple of hundred yards or, you know, a couple of 1,000 kilometers or whatever, and then they get a pushback from the Germans and you'd start all over. And it never ended. The trench warfare, literally digging yourself in and the monotony of day to day. That's what the book was like to read. Like if you were trying to translate what it really felt like, they did. And in a way, that's kind of what made the book to me not so interesting.
Yeah, I don't.
Is that how you remember it too?
Not that one. No, when you bring up stuff like that, I remember Faulkner and As I Lay Dying. And all I took away from that is Ants keeps rubbing his knees. That's all I remember, is that they said that over and over and I was super bored. I just have a sense memory of a better reaction to All Quiet on the Western Front than you had. But I can't articulate it any better than that because it's been too many years, too much TV gone in one eyeball come out the back or something.
I wonder if this was sort of a response to the success of 1917. Do you think that was the decision to make this?
It's Netflix. So God only knows why they decided to make it. But I think part of it is that it's been a while. I mean, 79, if that was the last iteration, and I'm not swearing it is because I'm not an expert on this particular film. I think the success of 1917 probably certainly doesn't hurt. This is a German adaptation, so it actually comes out of Netflix's German branch, evidently. That's what I'm reading here. So, yeah, I don't know. I assume that part of it is a play for award season. You know, mm-hmm. This seems like the kind of thing that you could see getting Oscar nominations, potentially. And Netflix always likes to be in that business. So there's probably not just one, but myriad reasons why Netflix decided to remake it again.
Yeah, you know, the World War One piece that I really liked was the one that came out in 2019, the Peter Jackson one, They Shall Not Grow Old. I don't know if you saw that or not, but that was really well done. So we'll see. I mean, you know, hopefully it proves me wrong and this is a good version and I'll enjoy it. But if not, and you're looking for something good on World War One, They Shall Not Grow Old, I thought was fantastic. I saw that on a long flight once and it bailed me out because there's nothing else good worth watching. And that was, so I was happy about it. Let's get to some other topics here, Rob. Cause I know there's still a lot you want to get to from TV and other topics too. Like for instance, what's going on with I Love You, You Hate Me? Is Mr. Rogers in this or what?
He's name checked in it. He's not in it. It's a new documentary about Barney that is on Peacock. It's two episodes. Why they didn't just make it a 90-minute movie, I'm not sure. Would have been better at 90 minutes than 2 hours. It's really weird because it's like, on the one hand, it's a nostalgia play. Why did everyone hate Barney? Exploration. And then in the second episode, they're like, oh, true crime's popular. Let's make it true crime. So they explore the fact that the creator of Barney's son shot a guy 2 decades after she left the show. And did Barney somehow influence this? Which seems dumb. To me. So it's a little bit of a, I can't say that I would recommend it. At least not, I wouldn't recommend it for true crime, even though I leaned forward where I'm like, ooh, what did this kid do? But it just seems sort of gratuitous and unnecessary. But as a nostalgia play, there are some interesting comments, particularly from Steve Burns, who is the first host of Blue's Clues. And yes, Mr. Rogers gets name checked a couple times in it. He is not, however, featured in the new season of Documentary Now on IFC. Are you familiar with Documentary Now?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Okay, so it's a show that's done by Fred Armisen, Seth Meyers. I think the guy from Barry, Bill Hader, was involved in it at the beginning. I'm not sure he is now.
We're talking about Saturday Night Live. These are all the guys I like from Saturday Night Live 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
Yep. And so Documentary Now is an IFC series that is a parody of like a PBS documentary show, like an IFC or something, not to be confused with the fact that this airs on IFC. An independent lens.
So is this sort of like, what was it called? The one where the guy got in trouble for drawing the penises all over his high school.
That's American Vandal.
American Vandal, is that same sort of concept?
Maybe a little bit, except American Vandal.
Or Spinal Tap, even?
A little bit. It's more like if you did a parody of PBS's Independent Lens or POV.
Okay.
And each episode is a different topic, a different film that is a parody of, like this season, there's a parody of My Octopus Teacher. My Monkey something this season. So the show's fourth season. It's been like 3 or 4 years since the most recent season, and I was kind of hoping they might do a Mr. Rogers a parody of the Won't You Be My Neighbor theatrical documentary film, but they did not. And I talked to Seth Meyers, and he explained a little bit why they did not do a Mr. Rogers one this season. So no Mr. Rogers in that one, but he does get name checked in the Barney thing on Peacock.
Seth Meyers also tried to figure out what's wrong with the Steelers offense.
He did not, because when I talked to him, it was before the season had started.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm sure he could have made some predictions about what would be wrong with the Steelers offense and he'd still be right.
Yes.
Even though they did just get a big upset win over Tom Brady and company.
Rewarding.
Did you watch it? Were you watching out there?
I did not, but just anytime we can beat Tom Brady, I'm happy about that. Anytime anyone can beat Tom Brady, it's good.
Final season, Doc Martin on Acorn, but it's not on PBS.
Yeah, so Doc Martin is a show that I know many Pittsburgh viewers discovered from the episodes airing on PBS stations, including WQED. However, I mean, this show has been going for like, I don't know, 15, 20 years at this point, even though they are only on their 10th season, but there's always a big gap between seasons. But it is, at some point, it was bought by Acorn TV, and Acorn TV has, up till season 8, allowed PBS stations to air it after a few years after it's premiered on Acorn.tv. However, now they are clawing back the rights and saying, no, PBS stations, you can't have season 9 or season 10. So season 9, which everybody's been waiting for, is now never going to air on PBS, nor will season 10, which begins airing today on Acorn TV. So if you were hoping to see it on WQED, I'm sorry to say you will not.
All right. Well, I wanted to throw, before we go here, one more horror movie at you, because it's getting all sorts of buzz, and I want to see if you were made aware of this at any point. I saw it in the New York Post. The horror movie that, quote, is literally scaring people sick. It's called Terrifier 2. Are you familiar with Terrifier 2 at all?
I'm afraid that I slept on Terrifier 1, Tim. What is wrong with me?
All right. Here's what the Post says. The crowdfunded indie horror flick, which will play over in over 850 theaters nationwide after initially airing last week, is an uncut and uncompromised sequel to Terrifier. It's not Terrifier 1, just Terrifier. And there's a clown called Art the Clown, but they say, think of It, the movie It, meaning Pennywise, I suppose, with, quote, buckets more blood and guts. The word is that this movie is so appalling, so stomach-turning, so gross and disgusting that it's literally making people sick all over theaters nationwide. Now, this to me sounds like a lot of Reddit hype, and that's where it started, apparently. Like, you know, yeah. It was a Reddit thread, and then it boomed, and it's probably 10 or 12 people in a room that are hired by whatever production company this was that pumped it out to say, hey, say you got sick watching this movie. This strikes me as the latest Human Centipede. That's what this is. This feels like 2022 Human Centipede to me. Like, I'm going to regret using this turn of phrase given Human Centipede, but word of mouth that gets out there for people online and say, oh, you got to see the movie that's making everybody sick. And then really it's just dumb, stupid, and really not all that good or disgusting in the first place. That's my hunch. What do you think?
It's an ultra low budget picture. God only knows if, I mean, it hasn't been turning up certainly in the top 10 of the different charts that I have seen. Maybe it's been in the top 10, but I haven't seen it in the top 5. And I'm looking now to see where it's playing. Oh, it is playing. It does have showings at the, AMC Waterfront. So it is in Pittsburgh theaters. Let's see, it's only got 2 showings today, so it's certainly
well, it's because so many people are puking, Rob. It takes time to clean up the theaters.
Yeah. So it's, Halloween Ends has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It has 14 showings today to Terrifier 2's 2 showings. So maybe they can only manage 2 because of all the vomit.
Okay, here we go. Here are a couple. My friend passed out in the theater, called an ambulance. Mm-hmm. Highly recommended, exclaimed one satisfied viewer. The guy behind me passed out cold and crashed into my chair. Another guy left because he didn't feel good. And I overheard him say, walking out the theater door, that there was a guy puking and I could hear it loudly in the bathroom. The other one says, it's so gory, I puked in my popcorn. I'm throwing up in my mouth a little bit, thinking that people are actually taking this seriously. Like, this isn't some sort of planted thread and seed that has grown into, well, this. But I'm telling you, this is Human Centipede Part 2. That's what this is. I shouldn't say that, because there was a Human Centipede 2. Now that I say that out loud, there was a sequel, and this is a sequel to Terrifier 1, or just Terrifier. All right, Rob, that'll do it. What you have coming up in TV Q&A and TV Talk this week?
TV Q&A, a viewer wants to know if QED Cooks, the cooking program hosted by Chris Fenimore and Nancy Polinsky, will be back. They have not done new episodes since the onset of the pandemic, so we'll get an answer to that. And then later on this week, the TV Talk column is a little bit up in the air, but I think it's going to also be a new QED special.
And oh my God, Royce Jones from KDKA, you wrote a story because you got an email from somebody wondering if Royce actually was a Pittsburgh Steeler at one point, because his friend told him that. And don't leave the listeners hanging anymore, Rob, because you published it. Was the answer yes? Was Royce Jones a Pittsburgh Steeler?
Alas, he was not.
God, did that get play on social media? Oh my gosh. Your story went everywhere, man, on that one.
He was a very good sport about it. I will say that. Royce, he was a very good sport and took it in good, took the question in good stride. And by the way, the question was legit. Like, sometimes I'm like, is this real? But this one actually came in on voicemail, and the guy left the phone number, so I was able to call and talk to him. And it was indeed a legitimate question.
Well, frankly, I think some of the people that had playing defensive back against Tampa were less known than Royce, and they somehow managed to win. And I don't know how that's possible. Rob, we'll talk again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tim.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of Pittsburgh Pop.